You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're diving into a critical issue for many Californians, the intersection of the power grid and escalating risk of wildfires. Joining us is Lucy Kerhoulis, a professor of forest physiology at Cal Poly Humboldt. Professor Kerhoulis and her team recently conducted a vital study in partnership with a utility company to examine how vegetation along power line corridors contribute to fuel buildup and tree failures. Welcome to the Exchange, Professor Kerhoulis.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with your partnership between Cal Poly and a utility company. How did this come about?
A utility company reached out to us and were concerned with a lot of power outages in the heavily forested regions of rural Northern California. And they really wanted some independent science done that would kind of investigate trends in tree failures around power corridors and how they related to different vegetation management treatments that were being done along power corridors, and also kind of how these trends in tree failures overlapped also with areas of kind of heavier fuel loading around these power lines. Okay. And so they reached out to our team and we cooked up a study.
Okay, so did the utility company public exposure? Do they want to remain anonymous, or can we name who the utility company is?
Oh, yeah, we can name the utility company. It was the PG&E.
Okay. So what were you seeing in the field that made this research so urgent for protecting local communities?
I don't know that there was a sense of urgency per se. It just was apparent to anyone living in Northern California in rural areas, you know, where you experience a lot of winter power outages. They can be really inconvenient and also kind of complicated, you know, if you need power for home heating or any sort of medical equipment, things like that. So I think power outages are on people's radar up here and throughout a lot of this region. And so this was a pressing thing to look into about, you know, can we better understand where tree failures are more likely? And then maybe that can help hone and target vegetation management prescriptions around these power lines to try to minimize kind of tree-induced power outages.
Okay, well, it sounds like your research focused on rural timbered areas where power outages are, as you said, a frequent headache. How significant is the link between falling branches and trees and widespread outages that usually impact hundreds of thousands of people?
You know, I don't know the statistics on, we didn't have any of PG&E's data. That was kind of one of the things, is they wanted us to be completely independent and do our own independent science free of any influence from them. I don't have the statistics on, you know, what percentage of power outages are caused by tree failures, like trees falling or branches falling, but it seems like it's pretty high. It's one of the leading causes of power outages, I would venture to say.
So your findings were published in the Journal of Environmental Management. Tell me about that process.
We had on this project, which was a three-year project, we're in the third year right now, so we had 2 years of field work. And on this project, we had two stellar graduate students, Zoe Ziegler and David Dorval. And Zoe defended her master's thesis at Cal Poly Humboldt last spring. And then over the summer, we worked on converting her thesis into a manuscript for publication in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. And it was, I think everyone on our team agrees, like the fastest we've ever seen a thesis be converted into a published paper. So it went really smoothly, and the journal was great to work with.
Well, you also found that not all trees are created equal when it comes to risk. Why are oak trees considered a higher priority for management compared to, let's say, conifers?
Yeah, that was surprising to me, that finding. So we evaluated four major vegetation types across multiple counties in rural Northern California. And most of them were coniferous forests that we looked at, like mixed conifer, redwood, and Douglas fir. And then we had an oak vegetation type too that we evaluated. And compared to the conifer vegetation types, the oak vegetation types had a lot more, like significantly more structural and biotic damage compared to those other forest types. And some of our other research, which hasn't been published yet, but is indicating that tree failure likelihood, this is part of David's thesis, which he'll be defending this spring. So these are, you know, in progress findings, but it's looking like those data are suggesting that tree failure likelihood is greatest in trees with a lot of structural and biotic damage. And that's one of the indicators of a high likelihood of failure. And so this finding of Zoe is that the oaks had significantly higher biotic and structural damage compared to the coniferous vegetation types was a helpful finding, I think, to try to focus management efforts of power line corridor vegetation to areas where there's a lot of oaks, and therefore possibly a higher likelihood of tree failures causing power outages and possible fire ignitions.
Well, we often hear about beetle infestations killing forests. How does effective vegetation management near power lines help mitigate these kinds of infestations and prevent trees from weakening to the point of failure?
Yeah, that was another interesting finding from the recently published work, was that around the power lines, there were significantly less beetle damage and beetle infestation compared to our paired plots that weren't by power line corridors. So it does seem like the vegetation management treatments, it makes sense that these vegetation treatments that are removing trees that look kind of sickly or like they might be more prone to failure would be removing trees with bark beetle damage. And so it does seem like those vegetation treatments are pretty effective, at least around the power lines, of trying to minimize beetle-related structural damage to trees that might lead to ultimate failure and compromising the power lines.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Lucy Kerhoulas, a professor of forest physiology at Cal Poly Humboldt. She leads a team of researchers who are seeking solutions to preventing power outages and wildfires. Professor, one of your most notable findings involved woody debris. Help us understand how the act of pruning and tree felling by utility crews might actually be increasing wildfire risk if the leftover material isn't managed properly.
Yeah, so a lot of times, I'm sure many listeners are familiar, you know, with vegetation treatments along power line corridors. There's a lot of tree pruning that happens and tree felling, trying to kind of give the power lines a wide buffer or a wide berth. And so what we were finding at our study sites was that in our plots that were near the power lines, associated with the power lines, there was significantly higher large woody fuel loads compared to in our plots that weren't in the power lines. And these fuels, it was obvious, were largely from the tree treatments that had been done along the power lines. And so this was sort of eye-opening in the sense of like trying to evaluate this intersection of vegetation treatments and how that might affect fuel loads. And the large woody debris, they're not going to be really flashy and like really quick to ignite, these large woody fuels, but they are fuels. And so it was a little bit concerning. And I think one of our kind of recommendations that comes out of this work is that part of the protocol for vegetation management treatments along power line corridors should be that as much debris as possible is removed from site rather than left on site where it can act as a fuel.
Well, that makes sense. Why wasn't that done to begin with?
You know, I'm not sure. Again, our research was done very independently from the power company, from PG&E. And so we weren't really privy to all of like their protocols. you would think that, I mean, I'm assuming that for many of their treatments, they do remove a lot of the debris and the leftovers from these treatments, but we were still finding a measurable amount of that on the landscape in our plots. And so this was definitely kind of one of the take-home points, is that perhaps in these prescriptions, it should be a more ambitious effort to remove that leftover debris.
Well, it sounds like your research is informing PG&E how to better manage their policies. Before this research, were there any other previous research investigations to help them develop their policies?
I think that they had, we were in conversation with them for maybe a year. It was a very long planning process, just trying to like get on the same page about what their objectives were with this research. Like what they really wanted to find out. So in talking with them, it seemed that they had their own internal teams that had been trying to understand these questions a little better, but they really wanted to have external outside scientists who were pretty versed with like scientific field methods and analyses to try to tackle these questions. And so there wasn't a huge literature for us to use to build off of in terms of exactly Northern California, these types of questions being investigated. I was encouraged as a resident of rural Northern California who does experience a lot of power outages and has to turn on the generator, you know, regularly in the winter. I was happy to see that they so sincerely and earnestly were really trying to get outside true science to try to help them tackle these questions, because it's a tall order in this region. There's so much forest land and so much landscape to cover to keep all of those power lines free of tree-related outages. That's an ambitious task. So we were really happy to be able to try to help with that effort.
Well, it sounds like a good partnership. Looking toward the future, your team is exploring remote sensing tools like NDVI. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah. So NDVI, the Normalized Difference Vegetation Index, it's like a remotely sensed data. So it can cover really large spatial areas. And it basically is a way of measuring kind of how green plants are. And you can think of that as sort of a proxy or a surrogate for how healthy or vigorous or productive the vegetation is. And so our field methods, again, it was two summers of field work, you know, 40-hour a week field work with two field crews. It was pretty extensive and ambitious and logistically challenging and physically challenging, and then analyzing all the data in the lab. And, you know, it was a big effort. And so it'd be great if we could take, you know, our 120 plots of data that we had across four counties in Northern California and scale that to larger landscapes, because it was so labor intensive to get our data that it would be unrealistic to think of kind of replicating that across the landscape in large. And so if we can pair our field-based measurements to remotely sensed data and understand the relationship there, we can then use remotely sensed data on a larger landscape to try to identify areas, say, where trees have low vigor. And that might be a red flag to kind of put a pin in those areas as, hey, this might be an area where we want to focus our vegetation management efforts, because based on this remotely sensed data and paired with our field data, it seems like chances for tree failure are high here.
That makes a lot of sense to scale it and make it more efficient and effective. For utility companies listening today, what's the most immediate change in management strategy that they should implement based on your team's findings?
I think it's pretty like an easy one, which is great. It's nice when things work out like that. But I would say just modifying the vegetation management prescriptions and protocols that as much as possible, the debris, especially the large woody fuels are removed from site and not left there in the power line corridor where they can act as a fuel. If fire were to get going, we wouldn't want those fuels there that were related to those vegetation management treatments. Okay. And so it seems like an easy lift to just try to incorporate more of that removal into those prescriptions.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you.
My guest was Professor Lucy Kerhulis, a professor of forest physiology at Cal Poly Humboldt.